this parable of the talents. It's about a man who gave his slaves some of his wealth before going on a journey. In our NRSV reading today, and you know there are different translations, the New Revised Standard Version and NIV, the New International Version, they use different words. They're a little different. In the NRSV, it says talents. In the NIV version, it says bags of gold. But the fact is, the talent was the man's wealth, right? One talent in that day was worth about 20 years worth of wages for the common worker. So it was a lot of money. It was not an insignificant amount. And we hear that one worker was given five talents, and he went off and he traded it to make five more talents. And then similarly, another one was given two, and he doubled it to make four. But the one who received one talent, he dug the hole and he hid the money. And then when the master came back, the master applauded, then rewarded the workers who doubled their talents. And the one who hid his talents was reprimanded. And more than that, the master said, at least you should have invested my money, done something with it, and I could have gotten something. And the talent is taken from that one and given to the one with the 10 talents. And that slave is thrown out. So the message for us today, I think it's very clear. What are we doing with the talents, the gifts, the wealth that God has given to us? And I think that's a question each one of us needs to consider separately. Because we all have different gifts and different talents. Just as there were three different men with different gifts, talents given, you and I have different abilities, gifts, and resources. And so the question for us today, what are we doing with what God has given to us? What are we doing with our talents? Let's pray as we consider this question for us. Holy and gracious God, you have been generous with us. And so today as we come before you, we invite your Holy Spirit to speak to each person, God. Help us to understand what it is that you want us to do with the gifts you've given to us as a church family. Open our eyes, our hearts, our minds to be able to do with what you've given to us as you would have us do. All this we pray in Christ. Amen. You know, in the church, I think we know it up here, and we say it very willingly and freely that it all belongs to God. And we've said it time and time again, and I do believe we mean it. But sometimes, and I'm only speaking for me, I don't know about you, but the time it takes to travel from the head to the heart, well, sometimes it's a long journey, is it not? I know it's true. You know, I have faith that God has given me life. I know he has. There's no way that I could be here. I look at creation. I look at all the things that God has given, and there is no doubt in my mind that it's a gift from God. But then when I go back to my day-to-day living, I act like I own my life. I act like I am responsible for the world. Forget the church. You know, I think I have to solve the world's problems sometimes. But God is good, because when I ask for help, you know what God does? He shows me my limitations. I said, God, that's not what I asked. I asked for you to help to fix this thing, and yet you're showing me my limitations. Have you ever asked for patience? God doesn't give you patience. He gives you opportunities to exercise it. And that's how we learn, right? So God's ways are different. So when it comes to this idea, an understanding that it all belongs to God, we know it. But living it, my friends, is hard to do because somewhere along the way, we have begun to feel like we're the owner of things. There's a story, and you might have heard the story, but I think it was a good illustration. So there's this woman sitting on the bench, and it's a beautiful day, and she's got her newspaper, and she's got her bag of Oreos, and she's, you know, enjoying nature and just this time out there. All of a sudden, someone comes and sits next to her, and hears a crinkle, and she turns and she sees the man, a young one, opening up her bag of Oreos, dips in and keeps eating, and she's like, "What? Imagine if that happened to you. It's just what?" So she angrily takes, you know, a cookie. I mean, her Oreo cookie. It's hers. The boy, the young man, takes another one, and he gives her a funny look. And she's getting angrier and angrier because these are her cookies, and she bought them to enjoy. But here's this young upstart who's just taken what belongs to her. It's not his. And so on they go. He takes one, she takes another, because it's hers. And at the end, they come to the last one, and the young man actually offers it to her. And she gets really angry. Who is this guy to offer me my cookies? She takes it. She eats it. And the young man is left with the empty Oreo cookie bag. And you know what? He gets up. He folds it and goes and throws it into the trash can and walks away. The woman is fuming. She's like, should I go after him? And she's, you know, but she says, let me just sit here. Let me just sit here for a moment. She takes her newspaper that she had bought to read. And guess what happens when she takes the newspaper? What falls out? The Oreo bag of cookies. Yeah. So it turns out that they did not belong to her. They were his, and he was sharing with her. So who, what belonged to who now? Sometimes, my friends, we get to thinking it belongs to us, right? And we don't look around to understand the full story. And I think that's what it is with God's ways. We know it. If we were to look in the right direction, we know it belongs to God. And our hearts would understand that, our spirits, we would live that way. But the fact is, we act like it's ours. And what right does God have to take what we need to live? After all, God doesn't need anything. Absolutely. You're not wrong in that. God doesn't need our money. God doesn't need us, my friends. It all belongs to God. He's the creator of all things. And if you have any doubts about that, just go outside and look at nature. We went on the youth retreat a couple weeks. I'm losing track of time. I think it was 2 weeks ago, but one and a half, who knows. The nature, my friends, it was just gorgeous. The skies, the birds, we went on a hiking trail. And as you marveled, as I marveled, at all of God's creation, it was just yet another reminder that there's so much that I don't know. Have you ever just stayed in your little world? You know, we have our routines, right? We go to work, we go back home, we cook, we eat, we sleep, and start the day over again. And as we go throughout our day-to-day routines, have you ever been stopped in your tracks because maybe you got the chance to see the sunset or the sunrise? Or maybe you got the chance to see part of God's beauty and nature that just overwhelmed you with the understanding that you indeed are not in charge. And there's so much more to life and the universe than you could ever imagine. Have you been there? Those moments, my friends, are the ones where we just need to allow God to speak to us. Because too soon we go back to our daily grind, forgetting who's in charge, forgetting who it all belongs to, forgetting whose we are. Genesis 1:26, here's what God says. A little more. You know, when you speak, your throat gets dry. Here's what God said. Let's make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so they may rule over the fish of the sea, in the sea, and the birds in the sky, over the livestock, and over all wild animals, and over all, indeed all, creatures that move along the ground. Think about that for the moment. You and I have been given stewardship, responsibility to care for all of God's creation, to care for what belongs to God. And over, Jesus reminds us that God is coming back. No one knows the day and the hour when Jesus is coming back, but he is coming back to ask for an accounting of how we've lived. How have we cared for what he's given to us? My friends, that's not something to be scared of. In fact, God wants to give us even more, but he has to see how we're going to handle this responsibility while we're here on earth for this time, so that if we're faithful, as we're faithful, that he will entrust with us with even more. And that logically makes sense. Think about this. Would you give someone responsibility who couldn't handle it? No. How about kids? Do you give your kids the keys to the car, the keys to the house, to do whatever they want to do when they're 3 years old? I'm not going to say when you should do it because that's a testy issue with about riding cars and all, you know, so I'm not going to get involved in that. But the thing is, at some point or another, we're going to have to give them responsibility, right? But how do we do that? Well, we give them little at a time, right? We see how they handle responsibility, and then if they mess up, well, we come alongside and help them, but we got to give them responsibility. We got to see how they're going to do, because if we don't, then they're going to grow up not knowing how to do it. So here's the thing. God has given us this time on earth to see how we're going to handle God's creation, how we're going to handle being stewards of what belongs to God. So, this time on earth is a sort of testing time. And the parable that we read today, and indeed the parables that God shares to us through Jesus, right? All of them have been with that intent, right? That the master, the owner, entrusts his slaves. And I know that word, slaves, right? We're not slaves, we're free. Well, guess what? We're going to be slave to one thing or another, because ultimately, we're not in charge. I would rather be a slave to the one who created me with love, who redeemed me by giving his life, then be to the slave to the one who wants to take my life. My friends, God has freely given us everything we need or we could want. The talents that we've been given are a gift from him. And what we do with it on this earth for this time is a test. It's a responsibility, checking in to see how we're doing. You think it mattered that Adam and Eve ate that apple? It wasn't about the apple, my friends. It was about obedience. It was about trusting that what God said to do, what God commanded, they needed to do. Same for us. God doesn't need anything from us. God doesn't need our time, our money, our talents. He does not. But what it's about, it's obedience. It's understanding that it's a gift from God, and it's our response and thanksgiving in gratitude for what God has given to us. So, you know, I'm not here to talk about, well, our, you know, checklist, right? I'm not going to check what you give to God. We're not going to check what you give to God. But what we are here to do, my friends, is to encourage each other. And as we heard from Thessalonians, Paul's letter to that church in Thessalonica, he says, encourage one another and build up each other, as indeed you are doing. My friends, the gifts and the talents that we've been given are to be used to build one another up first, right? We encourage each other. That's why we're going to come together after worship and share what we're grateful for. Encourage each other. And then we're going to ask God to empower us to be able to go out and tell others about this awesome news that we've been given of a God who gives so generously. My friends, this world is dying to hear this news. And I mean literally dying for all of us. Our numbers are short on this earth. But the things that this earth gives to us are limited, and we need to be careful of not hoarding it, of not hiding it as that third person did, right? What did he do with the talents? He kept it hidden. We need to be careful of how we handle God's resources. The story that Jesus tells us gives us two choices. Either we use the talents for him or we keep them hidden. And that's what I want us to focus on today. Because we're doing one or the other, my friends. No response is also a response. You know, we need to be very careful that our response is intentional. There's no in-between. When we like, and I'm in this too, I like to make things comfortable and nice, and I like church to be light and fluffy. Right, where we just love each other and we get along and there are no problems. I love that. But here's what I've learned. There's always going to be conflict. There's always going to be people with different opinions. There's always going to be things that we need to resolve. So instead of hiding and instead of staying away from that, I think what we need to understand that there are tough things in life, and Jesus tells us to be prepared for the tough things. Because the parable of the talents is not all fluffy and comfortable. That when Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father but by me, is not all fluffy and light. Because there is an exclusivity there that says Jesus is the way, not every other way. So when it comes to the Word of God, to what Jesus says, we need to take time and to dig into it. And the time that we have today is not enough, but it's a start, right? And here's a plug that I'm going to give in for our Bible studies. If you want to understand more of what Jesus is saying, what God is saying to us, join us for Bible study. I'd love to add another one. I love to dig into the Word of God so we can understand what it means for our souls, for eternal life. Today, we heard the parable of the talents. The first two slaves we hear, right, the choices, they made the choice to invest, to work with the talents that they had been given, not hide them for their master. And so when the master came back, he said to them, well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. That means, again, that they passed that test to see how well they would do with what they were given, that master had given them the talents. And when the master came back, he applauded their work, gave them even more of what they had. Here's the other choice that we can make: hide our talents. That's what the third one did. He took the talents and he was only given one, but he buried it. He kept it hidden. And the master, when he came back, replied to him, you wicked and lazy slave, you should have at least invested my money with the bankers and I would have received what was my own with interest. Now, what does that mean? Invest. Right? I mean, we understand it in terms of maybe the stock market or, you know, the human understanding. But I think for us, at least, there's so many things that the church body, the church universal, does in service and ministry that we can join in with. You know what? We don't have to reinvent this wheel of service, of giving, of stewardship. That's the job together of the church. So if you're unsure about where to use your gifts and talents, my friends, there's so many opportunities in our church. Again, a plug for that stewardship campaign card, Trifold. It lists the ministry we're doing. We'd love to add more, but there's already ministries. You don't need to think and come up with something new. Investing your time and talent in the work and the ministry of the church is important. That is one way of stewardship. So my friends, the opportunities are there. The question is, what are we doing with it? The response that the master gives is to throw out that slave in the outer darkness when that slave has not at least invested or done something with what his master had given to him. It seems harsh, doesn't it? To our human understanding, yes, maybe. But the fact is, the talents belong to the master. He gave them according to their ability. He did not expect the same result from all of them. My friends, God does not want each one of us to do the same thing. He does not each one of us to sing for his glory. He does not want each one of us to be a pastor. He does not want each one of us to be service here and there. He has a specific place in mind for you according to the gifts and talents. And one of the ways you recognize where you are called to be is when there's joy in that ministry. If you're working with the youth and that's joy, right? If that's where you're called to see, when you see their response to receiving the word, growing in faith. If you see children, if you're called to work with little kids and teach them about Christ, well, guess what? That's where you're called to be. If you're called to use your administrative skills for the work and the ministry of the church, that's your calling. That's your gift. Each one of us has a different calling, my friends, different gifts. God's very clear with what he expects from us. He has entrusted us. I pray, my friends, that each one of us recognizes, prays on, and that prayerfully gives back to God what belongs to him. So the question that I leave you with, what is your choice? What are you going to do with the talents that God has given to you? For our time on earth is limited. But when Christ comes again, When our master, the owner, the creator of all things comes again, my friends, what will be our response as a church, as a collective body of Christ, but individually as well, with the privilege that we've been given to serve in ministry? May our answer be as the first two who doubled and who were able to offer back to the master what belonged to him. Amen. As we consider our response, let us pray together for ourselves, for our church, and our ministry. Generous God, you are the giver of all gifts. As Jesus reminded his listeners,